Matthew chapter 1, as we begin to focus our attention towards the Christmas season, we're going to spend the next few messages over these next 4 weeks in December. We're going to focus on the characters of Christmas, and we're going to highlight their response to the message of Christmas, Christ coming to this earth. And so we're going to begin today in Matthew chapter 1 with one of the characters that we don't often hear a whole lot about. He's included in the Christmas story, but the emphasis is usually placed on other characters, and that is Joseph. We often don't hear much about him, but, and it's true, the Bible doesn't include a lot about him, but what the Bible does include, what God does show us, is very important. As we're going to see two things about Joseph today. First of all, we're going to examine his character, and then we're going to see his commitment to the Word of God. So his character and then his commitment to the Word of God. And as we go through Christmas, we know it's always a fun time of year and it's enjoyable, and especially if you have kids and little kids, especially there's a lot of excitement, there's a lot of joy around it. But as Christians, we have to make sure that we keep the focus where it needs to be, and that is not just that Christ was born, but the reason why he was born, why he came to this earth. Very simply, the message of Christmas is this, that God himself, while not ceasing to be God, he became a man and was born in order to meet God's requirement for sin's payment by dying as a substitute for you and me on the cross of Calvary. And so as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we recognize the reason why he was born on this earth. He was born to die a death that you and I deserve to pay, but he paid the debt that you and I owe so that we can receive God's gift of eternal life. And so as we consider the Christmas story, all of this points to Jesus Christ and why he came, but we want to focus on the characters of Christmas. And today we're going to look at Joseph, his character, and his commitment to the Word of God. And it is a powerful testimony of his faith and his great character. And so here's the truth that I want us to consider before we read the text this morning. Joseph responded to God's word in faith and not fear. And that is what God wants us to do today as well, to respond to God's word in faith and not fear. Let's read our text here this morning, Matthew chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Verse 24, Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's ask God to guide us as we look to his word here this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to open your word, to study it, to know it, to learn it, Lord, not just as facts in history, Lord, but to know you, the God who has revealed himself in your word. I pray, Lord, as we study this character of Joseph, that you would open our hearts to the truths of it, the principles that we find here, and may we submit ourselves in obedience and faith, as we see Joseph did as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to notice, first of all, number one, about Joseph, notice his character. And the Bible points out two specific things about it. Number one, we see, first of all, that God says that he was a just man. Notice verse number 19. It says, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now, what does that word just mean? It simply means righteous. Someone who does what is right. regardless of the situation. We talk about justice. That is one of God's characteristics as God, that He is always just, meaning He always does what is right in every situation. Now, we as people, we don't always do what is right in every situation because we are sinners. We make mistakes at times. But the idea of being just here goes beyond not just doing what is right, but it has the idea here that Joseph was one who obeyed God's law. In other words, he tried to model his life in obedience to what God had revealed in His Word, in the written Word at that time. This is the same word that is used in Luke chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but when God describes the priests Zacharias and Elizabeth, of whom would be born John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, it describes Zacharias and Elizabeth as righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Meaning, they had a great testimony from everyone that knew them. Doesn't mean they were perfect, but it means that they tried to obey the word of the Lord in every case that they could. That word righteous in describing Zechariah and Elizabeth is the same Greek word as the word just here in Matthew chapter 1. So Joseph, we could say the same thing. He walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. He ordered his life after the word of God. Again, as I said, this does not mean he was sinless, but rather that he trusted in God's word and he obeyed it in every way. He did the right thing the right way. Joseph, before we move on with this, understand, Joseph was not righteous because he did the right things. Doing the right things did not make him righteous. The Bible tells us that we do the right things because of faith that we have in God's word first. The good works are the outflow, the result of believing God's word and obeying it. James chapter 2 and verse 26 tells us, Galatians chapter 3 verse 11 tells us, makes it very clear that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The Bible says it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. There's that word just again. How are we just? How are we righteous in God's sight? It's by living by faith, not by doing the right things, but it's by faith in God's word. James chapter 2 and verse 26 tells us the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In other words, if we have genuine faith, if we truly believe what God has said in His word, we will obey it. We will do it. It has to come out in our actions. Works are a product of faith. Faith is not a product of works. And so Joseph being described as a just man does not mean that he did enough good so that God thought that he was righteous. It means that he believed what God said. God counted that as righteousness. As he says with Abraham, he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then the good works were the product of that, the fact that he had faith in God's word. As we saw in the book of James, it describes the proper order. Faith produces the works. It's not works producing faith. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 tells us that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is only faith that justifies us before God. Good works cannot produce faith, so therefore your good works can never justify you before God. Ephesians 2 verse 8 tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when God describes Joseph as a just man, it doesn't mean that he earned that righteousness by doing enough good. Rather, his doing good and obeying the word of God was the product of his faith that he had put in God. He had made a personal decision to trust what God had revealed in his word and what God said. And as a result, that influenced how he lived his life. So Joseph was a just man. He did what was right because he trusted God's word. But notice another thing about his character. Verse 20, we see not only was he a just man, a righteous man, but we see that he was a merciful man. Joseph was a merciful man. Look at verse 20. As it says here in verse 20, it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, and he goes on and say forth. Now, for us to understand this point, we have to understand a little bit of the historical background and culture of this time. At this time, in Bible times, Jewish marriages were prearranged by parents. They would get together, and it was often arranged even at a very early age. And so when the husband and wife-to-be were of marrying age, they would enter what was called a betrothal period, in which the marriage contract was officially sealed by a dowry gift, vows were said, and legally the couple was considered to be husband and wife, married at that time. But when that happened, when the betrothal period began, it would go for about a year. So the couple was legally married in the eyes of everyone, but they would have a betrothal period, which meant it was a time where the couple would remain separated, they would not live together, they would not engage in marital relations, but they remained separated, and this was a time for the husband to prove that he could support a wife by his industriousness, by his work, by caring, providing for a house. It was a proving period where, and it was usually about a year, sometimes a little bit less, sometimes more. And so he showed that he could care for a wife during this time. After the betrothal period was done, then there would be the huge marriage ceremony, which would often last for a week or more at a time. The marriage ceremony would take place, and then the husband would go get his wife from her father's house, bring her to his house. They would consummate the marriage and begin their life together. And so what is taking place here in Matthew chapter 1 that we have read is taking place during this betrothal period between Joseph and Mary. It says here in verse 18, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So this was during that betrothal period before they came together. Now, I'm going to pause here before we continue because I'm just going to make a point in passing here. What we see in these passages, and as we're going to see as we go throughout the Christmas story, is the doctrine of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That doctrine is a key doctrine of Scripture, and you cannot be saved without accepting that doctrine as true. The reason this is true, the Bible plainly states that Mary would give birth to Jesus having never known a man. And this is important for several reasons, but most of all because Jesus is the Son of God. He's not the son of Adam or the son of a human father, and that's important because if he had a human father, he could not have been God and could not have died on the cross in your place and mine to pay for our sins. God's payment for sin that he required was a perfect, sinless substitute in our place. And only God could be perfect and sinless. But to pay the penalty for mankind, he also had to be man at the same time. And so Jesus was born of a virgin. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is a very important doctrine of Scripture, and it comes to light here in the Christmas season as we go through this. So this is what is being taught here, and it's expounded throughout Scripture. But as we return back to our account here of Joseph and Mary, during this betrothal time, since the husband and wife were considered legally married, any unfaithfulness during this time was considered adultery. And under the Mosaic law, it was punishable by stoning to death, or it could be done by privately writing a letter of divorcement. They could be put away during this time. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and 24 explain both of those laws under the Mosaic law. So this was the situation that Joseph found himself in. They say, Pastor, what does all that have to do with Joseph being merciful? Well, we already looked at the fact that Joseph was a just man, meaning that he followed the Scriptures, the law of Moses, to the best of his ability. He obeyed the Word of God. So according to the Word of God that he only had two options. Make a public example of Mary, hold a public trial and have her stoned for unfaithfulness, or put her away privately by writing a letter of divorcement. To him, those were the only two options. That was the only options that were given in the law of Moses, in the Word of God. Because what was Joseph to think? Mary's with child. They haven't come together. He's only going to assume unfaithfulness. But we see, and here's what I'm trying to point out here. Notice what happened. When Joseph found out the news, the Bible says in verse 20, he thought on these things. Joseph's mercy is shown here in the fact that he did not react to the news. He took time to consider it, think through it, according to Scripture, and what God would have him do. As we see, it's during this time that God gives him instructions on what to do and explains it. But his mercy is shown by he's not being vindictive. He's not trying to make her pay for what he thinks is unfaithfulness to him. He showed mercy by choosing the best option for Mary. He thought on these things. The idea is to process information by thinking about it carefully, reflect on it, consider it. He took the time to make sure that what he did was right. He didn't just react. Again, the Bible doesn't tell us how Joseph found the news out about Mary. Most likely, I assume Mary told him herself. That would make the most sense. But if we put ourselves in Joseph's place for just a moment, think of all the emotions and all that you would be going through at that moment if you received news like that. It would have been very easy to react without thinking, but that's not what Joseph did. He took the time and considered what Mary said, considered the word of God and what God wanted him to do. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13 tells us, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." James chapter 1 verse 19 and 20 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for or because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Many of our interpersonal problems in marriages, in friendships, in the local church would all be avoided if this principle was simply followed. If we didn't react and we took the time to consider what was said and not respond in self-defense or retaliation or anything like that. Joseph's character gives a sterling report from God himself because not only was he just, but because he was merciful. He took the time to consider what was right and what was the best option for Mary. And it was as Joseph pondered these things, as verse 20 says, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." As Joseph considered how the word of God applied to his situation, God gave him specific guidance. "Joseph, this is what you're supposed to do." And that leads us to the second point about Joseph. Not only do we see his sterling character, but we see his commitment to the word of God. Verse 24 and verse 25 tells us, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." What did Joseph do when the angel of the Lord told him, "Mary is with child of the Holy Ghost, she's going to bear a son, call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins"? And the angel told him, this is a fulfillment of prophecy from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, that a virgin will conceive. It says, all this is according to the word of God and God's plan. And so don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. She's not been unfaithful to you. This is God's plan at work through her. So what did Joseph do? The Bible says he raised from sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. The idea there is he didn't hesitate. He did it right away. As soon as he got up, that's what he went and did. He was obedient to the word of God. And so Joseph's response encourages us with this truth, that we should not be afraid to take God at his word. And notice several things about this, again, in Joseph's situation. There are situations that we will encounter in life, circumstances that we will come up against, where we will be tempted to distrust God's word because of what we're experiencing or what we think or something of that nature. It's at those times when we have to make the conscious effort to take God at his word, not rely on our feelings or our experience or our circumstance or anything else. So we need to not be afraid to take God at his word, especially when we are hurting. Verse 18, we already read that Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph finds out the news, and you can imagine, as we said before, his life has just been turned all upside down. his dreams, as though everything's been shattered, just dropped on the floor, shattered into a million pieces. And as he's processing what to do, no doubt he felt hurt by the one he loved, devastation. And yet, even in the midst of that, we see that Joseph chose to take God at his word and obey. You know, those times in life when we are hurting are the times when it often seems the hardest to trust God. Because everything around us seems to scream that what God says isn't true. That's when we have to make the effort to say, God, your word is true. You are true, even if I can't see it at this moment. That's what Job did in Job 23. In the midst of his trial, he said, God, I can't see you at work anywhere. He said, I go forward, I don't see you there. To the left hand, to the right hand, you're not there. He said, I go backward, you know, I can't see you at work. But he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job expressed an absolute confidence in God's word at that time, even in his most extreme pain and loss. Those times of hurting are the times when it's the hardest to trust God. But it's those times when we need him the most, and we need to cling to God's promises and take him at his word. One of the best descriptions I've seen of trusting God comes from the book by that title, Trusting God, by Jerry Bridges. And he said, trust is not a passive state of mind. In other words, it's not just giving up and saying, okay, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Trust is not a passive state of mind, but it is a vigorous act of the soul by which we choose to lay hold on the promises of God and cling to them despite the adversity that at times seeks to overwhelm us. Trust in God is a choice that what God said is true, and I'm going to choose to believe it no matter what it may seem like around me. Is that not what we saw David do in the Psalms when we read this morning as well? He was going through difficulty, and yet he said, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to glorify you for who you are. I'm going to cling to your promises of who you are. That is trust in God, and especially when we are hurting, we need the promises of God in our life. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Many promises through the word of God we can see where God will not leave us. He will strengthen us. He will give us the grace that's needed. He is all that we need in those times of hurt and difficulty. Psalm 119 verse 68 says, thou art good and doest good. Speaking of God's very character, we must remember God's goodness, take him at his word, that he only does good, and that he works everything for our good and his glory. Those times when we are hurting, just as Joseph did, we need to take God at his word. But not just in times when we are hurting, but also especially when we don't know what to do. Joseph here again was in a conundrum. He didn't know what to do. So on the one hand, God's word says I have to, you know, either make a public example of Mary or I have to put her away. And then God revealed to him a different option, which was in accordance to his plan. But as he's wrestling through this, he didn't know what to do. In those times, he still took God at his word. There's going to be times in life when we're confused. We don't know what to do. Lord, do I do this? Do I do this? You know, neither one seems like the best option. You know, Lord, I can't figure this out. What do I do here? In those times, we can take God at his word that he will guide and direct us when we seek his direction. Isaiah 48, verse 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Again, it goes back to God's word. God directs us through his word, not through some experience, not through some feeling, not through some supernatural voice or dream or something. God guides through his word. It's his word that is the lamp to our feet and the light to our paths. So we need to not be afraid to take God at His word when we are hurting, as well as when we don't know what to do, but then also, especially when it seems impossible. Again, think of Joseph in this situation. An angel appears to him and says, Mary's with child from the Holy Ghost. This is God's plan at work in her. An impossibility by human standards. It would be very easy to doubt. It was like, well, that can't happen. God, what are you saying? And seemed impossible on many ways. But understand, God is the God of the impossible. As we read through the Word of God, we see there may be times in our life where it seems like what God wants us to do seems impossible or seems like we can't do it. But it's in those times that we need to trust God and choose to take Him at His word. Scripture is full of examples of people who have done just that. Romans chapter 4 and verse 19 tells us of Abraham. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he's going back to the Old Testament where Abraham is 100 years old, Sarah's 90. They're well past childbearing years, and yet God said, you're going to have a son in your old age. And the Bible says that Abraham was not weak in faith. And then notice the next verse, what it says here. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham didn't stagger at what God said, even though it was impossible from human standpoint. He was strong in faith, the Bible says. And it's a reminder to us that if God has said it, we can trust it no matter how impossible it may seem to us. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, in the story of Mary, as the angel appeared to Mary and told her that she would be with child of the Holy Ghost, the angel Gabriel reminds her, says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And so as we look at the man Joseph here today, we see a man of great character. We see a man of great commitment to the Word of God. His character, again, was not the result of him doing the right things. It was the result of his faith that produced the right works in his life. His character was sterling before the Lord because of his commitment to the Word of God. And even though Joseph was put in a very difficult situation, to put it mildly, he chose to respond in faith and not fear. The angel's first words to him after he greeted him said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Joseph chose faith over fear. And that's the same choice that you and I have to make on a daily basis when we are confronted with the truth of God's word. Do I choose faith? Or am I going to be afraid to do what God says and I'm going to do what I think is best instead? Only one response is the correct response. Only one response will lead to God's blessing and God's stamp of approval on your life. Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. And so as we consider the man Joseph here today, I want us to think of this. Number one, are you just in God's sight? Are you righteous in God's sight? Remember we said it's not by anything that we can do that can make us righteous in God's sight. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, Titus 3 verse 5 tells us, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Doesn't matter how much good we do. Bible says all of our righteousnesses, the good that we try to muster up in and of ourselves, is as filthy rags in God's sight. It's worthless. The only righteousness that God accepts is the righteousness of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is credited to our account when we by faith trust that Jesus died on the cross for my sin so that I could be forgiven and be made right with God. Are you just in God's sight? But are you merciful in your dealings with others? Joseph showed his mercy by considering what he was going through, not reacting, not just going ahead, but he stopped He considered, he thought on these things, he pondered, and as a result, God guided him with specific direction on what he should do in that situation. That's what God wants us to do in every situation that we come up with as well. To stop, take time, think through it in light of God's word, and let God's word guide us. But then are we committed to God's word in the same way that Joseph was? In the times when we're hurting, in the times where we don't know what to do, and in the times when it seems impossible, do we lean on our own understanding, or are we fully committed to what God says and taking Him at His word? Joseph was a man of great character, and he followed God by faith and not fear. So you and I today must make the same choice. Will you today respond to God's word in faith or in fear? Would you bow with me for prayer, please? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.